Let's bring in Cheryl Pounder, two-time Olympic gold medalist. She's won about a bajillion golds at the World Championships and one of the most dynamite hockey analysts that we have at TSN. Cheryl, haven't seen you since the Women's Worlds, but...
I know, we were in the bubble together, young Julia.
We were bubble... Oh my gosh, I forgot that everyone called me young Julia.
Is that your nickname in the bubble, yeah. Young Julia?
That's only because I'm old. I probably shouldn't be saying that now. Yeah, I'm kind of dating myself, yeah.
No, literally everybody was calling me that. It was hilarious. I actually liked it. It made me feel very spry, even though you like lasted way longer at the hotel bar than I did every single day.
I feel like I'm still in the bubble, though. I feel like I entered the bubble on August 15th or 16th, and I still haven't come out because I don't think I've hit 10,000 steps yet. So not a good thing. I got to get the butt moving here. But no, that was a great experience calling the Women's World in Calgary, and exceptional win with OT in Poulin.
Well, it's hockey season, and you've been dialed into so many things. Leafs, Marlies, you were in Ottawa last night for the rivalry series, and we'll get to the game in a second. But they revealed Canada's Olympic jerseys last night during the broadcast, and right now we have a poll going on our Twitter. You can weigh in on what you think about it at Leafs Lunch 1050. But what are your thoughts on the jersey, Cheryl?
Well, I'm wearing it still.
Nice!
I haven't taken it off. No, it was just nice to be able to put it back on. No, we wore it during the broadcast last night, and you know what? I actually like it. It's simple. It breeds Canadiana. I mean, everyone's going to have different opinions. I think for me, it's just any time you have the opportunity to put on the jersey. I never really cared what it looked like. It used to be my thing to kiss it before I put it on because it was always a privilege. And last night, getting it on with Kinsey Lalonde, we were having a little bit of a chuckle. She said, "This is the first time I've had the opportunity to wear it." And that, just because of that, I absolutely love it. So the colors are different. The black, I know a lot of people are questioning the black. I remember we did wear a black jersey in 2006, for one game, and much different. But you look a little intimidating when you're wearing black, especially the Pounder here. I wasn't a big athlete, so I thought it always made me look a little bit tougher.
Yeah, it's kind of got evil villain vibes. I like it. But the rivalry series tied at 2-2 now after Canada came out of the gate 2-0. What have you thought of that matchup so far?
Well, I think the first two games in Allentown and Hartford went well for Canada. I think coming off the World Championships win was something, obviously, that they still had that energy and that jump to their step. But the Americans centralizing and going into their residency program certainly has helped them. You can tell that they're connecting. Joel Johnson does use all four lines, so I feel like there's some synergies there. He's looking at different players and weaving them into different line combinations, and Canada not doing as much of that, playing a lot of their top two lines. I didn't think that Canada had a strong two games, in particular last night. Just managing the puck was something they didn't do extremely well. They need quick, close support, but a lot of, the Americans were all over the puck. They were relentless on it, and they didn't give them a lot of time and space. And, of course, when you come down to games where you have to be disciplined, specialty teams were a factor.
In conversation with Cheryl Pounder, TSN hockey analyst, and the Maple Leafs taking their talents to California, to Malibu, to L.A. tonight. Pretty late one, 10 o'clock drop tonight. But how impressed have you been with the Leafs' play over the month of November?
Well, it's been fantastic when they play with speed and they fight to get inside. And I think that's one of the things they've talked a lot about as a group, is trying to get inside and not just be a perimeter team. And you're starting to see that execution across the board. In particular, we've talked about Kampf and Kasha a ton, what they've meant. We've seen Kasha move up and down the lineup. I actually liked him with Matthews Bunting doing just a tremendous job alongside, really just being flexible, the versatility and drawing penalties. So I think you're seeing a fast team with good depth, and I think that's something they're going to need to be if they want to get through that elusive first round of the playoffs. In particular, you got to look at the third and fourth lines, because they're gonna have to be capable of producing as well.
Cheryl, we teased this before the break. The American Thanksgiving mark is usually when we start to look at potential trades around the league. In your mind, what do you think is a bigger priority for the Leafs? An upgrade in the top four on the point, or for that left wing spot in the top six?
Ooh, that's a good one, young Julia. Yes.
I learned it all from you, Cheryl.
I think they need both, but I'm going to go with the defenseman. I being a defender, I think a lot comes from the back. It is so critical that you have the ability to play below the tops of the circles and be able to move a puck very strong to create your offense, especially when you've got your core four, as well as what we're starting to see from that third line. So for me, I'm going with a top four D. I think you need that ability to really be a difference maker back there, to play a ton of minutes, to get the matchups that you want. And I think it's critical as you move forward.
Well, the blue line is starting to find their footing a little bit after a shaky start for the Maple Leafs. But what have you kind of liked and what have you disliked about the Leafs' top four at this point?
Well, you know, when we talk about Riley and Brody, I think they've been strong. Brody's a good skater. He has the ability to move a puck. You bring that calming sense with Riley, who's been jumping into the attack, and he's just an offensive threat. You know, the big question is always the ability to be consistent. Muzzin and Hall, we saw what they could do last year, and I think that's been the big question mark with Hall kind of out of the lineup and reinserted. So I think, you know, you have to be consistent if you're going to be in the top four. You have to be able to play the tough minutes. You have to recognize, manage the game situation. I think that's going to be critical. And I also think the competition with the last three is also really strong. And I think that's something that the Leafs certainly need, as we see Dermott, Liljegren, and Sandin kind of, you know, rotating and around there. It's a carousel, if you will. But I think that breeds to a healthy back end, to be able to know that, yeah, you have to compete each and every day for your spot. And each guy bringing something a little bit different. So for me, it's got to be consistent. I think, you know, for someone like Hall, you know, when that puck is on his stick, he needs to look to move it, right? That good first pass. And those are the simple plays as a defenseman, staying between the dots, staying within yourself, and really just getting that puck going north with some speed. So I think that the zone exits are critical, and that would be the number one thing for me with your top four, those zone exits, first pass, and just being strong below the tops of the circles.
Yeah, you mentioned that healthy competition going on with that third pairing. It looks like Dermott is the seventh D at practice, or he was yesterday. Yep. Which of those D pairings have you liked the most for the third pair?
Well, it's interesting. I've been a fan of Liljegren. I think, you know, everyone makes their mistakes, and I think that's the thing that we have to recognize with defensemen, is in particular when they're coming up, and it takes a lot of time. What's the magic number, right? A couple hundred games in the NHL. And so for a guy like Liljegren, I think he's done a good job in particular down low. I mean, yes, he's made his mistakes, but I kind of like him. I think he's been solid. Sandin, of course, has got the hands. He's got that creative offensive prowess, but sometimes, you know, that can scare me a little bit, because that extra handle, mm-hmm. that extra move, as well as, you know, being dominated sometimes below that goal line. And that's where you can get into trouble, right? All of a sudden your toes are turning, everyone's puck focused, and that play below the goal line, if you don't win those battles, becomes critical for the other team in their offense. So for me, you know, that's a little bit worrisome at times. We clearly know what he can do on the offensive side of the puck. And then for me, Dermott, now, he's a skater, right? He has the ability to skate, as long as he doesn't look nervous. You know, as long as he shows and breeds that confidence, I think here is a guy that can skate with some of the best in the world. He has the ability to keep him in front of him. And that's the thing. When you have the ability to skate and gap like he can, you can front them in your gap, or you can skate with them, right, from behind. So I think it's really important for that as well. So I think, you know, it's just the timing and who you're playing that can also make a difference in this rotation, right? A bigger, stronger forward group and all of those kind of things. So a lot to be taken into consideration, but some healthy competition. We always had it on the national team. I think it's great to have options. And some guys at the Marlies also looking pretty good.
Yeah, in conversation with Cheryl Pounder, a TSN hockey analyst, and you talk about the Marlies. Someone we don't talk about too much on the show is Josh Hosang. You know, he's a guy who played pretty well during, you know, the preseason, but didn't end up getting that NHL deal, went down to the Marlies. He's been pretty darn good, 12 points through 13 games, had an unbelievable overtime winner the other night. Is he someone who you think could factor into the Leafs' plans at some point here this season?
I do, and I've kind of been saying this from the beginning of the year, watching that preseason, and I've had the opportunity to be in the booth for some of the Marlies games, and he's an elite skill. I mean, there's no question that his hands, his first few strides, his ability to be creative with the puck. I think the question for him, and when he's in tight space, I watched him score two beautiful goals at the beginning of the year with the Marlies, and I thought, wow, is he playing with a bunch of boys out here? But as the game goes on, I think he's got to learn to slow it down a little bit. Sometimes his hands are out of control through the neutral zone where they don't need to be. And so for me, if he can learn to slow the game down just a little bit and just take a breath, I think that we'll see his game really open up. But with Michalis and Cini, I think he's done really well. And he's only two goals away from his career season high in the AHL of 10. And I mean, that's incredible. That he's making this push. And I think if he can add that consistency, I mean, he to me, he's like a power play guy, right? Like he's got that ability to play in with open space, but also in tight spaces. His hands are really that good. His shot, and I've seen him in tight so much and be able to just get it high and make plays. So I think, you know, I'd love to see him get his Smith.
Is he one of those guys, though, that you see him and he's more of a top six or bust type player? Or is he someone who you think can, you know, have an opportunity and play decently enough in the bottom six?
Well, I think that's a big thing. When you talk about Nick Robertson as well, you know, a lot of guys are saying, oh, he's got to be in a top six. But yeah, as Coach saying, he'll play anywhere, right? I think there's different elements. I mean, you're looking at a Comp and Kasha line here as your bottom six. And look at the skill level of some of these guys, right? Kasha's had a 20-goal season before. We're watching him now. He's with five. He's got five goals. He's at 54 shots on goal. Here's a guy that, you know, has the ability to play with Matthews, but yet elevate the third line as well. And I think you got to look like that if you want to be a championship club. How do you elevate your other lines with some skill and some strength? I've seen Hosang be relentless on the puck. I think the question is, can he stay above the passing option when he's on the defensive side of it? And can he read the ice to be consistently good defensively? And that's something he's going to certainly have to work on in the A. But, you know, if you ask him, he's certainly going to say, hey, give me a shot in a spot in the bottom six, and I'll play left or right. And I think that's, you know, that's something that can always be looked at. Because Nick Robertson, I would say the same thing. Here's a guy who's strong on the puck. Like he's a north-south player. I think he could be in the bottom six, and a lot of people would certainly disagree with me, but I don't see why not.
Pounds, is there anyone else on the Marlies that's been particularly impressive to you? I noticed Alex Steve is a point per game as well.
I'm a fan of Steve.
Yeah.
He's got six on the season right now, was out with injury earlier, but he's so smart with the puck. I thought he was probably their best player on Sunday. He, you know, just the way he sees the ice, he's creative. He can work away from the puck as well, but when he has it, he makes things happen. And so for me, I think that I've been very impressed with him. And on the back end, Rubens, I'm also a fan of Kral. At the beginning of the season, I thought that he was very activated offensively, diving down the wall at the right time, just recognizing when the winger's feet returned and just in being aggressive, and noticed that, yeah, he had a lot of opportunities. But Rubens, from a defensive standpoint as well, just, you know, he's going to the Olympics. I think he's going to have a great opportunity there. And I think he's strong defensively, and he's just been solid. And I think they're inching towards getting closer and closer. And the more I watch him, and I particularly watch the D, right, and their feet. So I think he's a guy to watch as well.
Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us today. It was fantastic.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
There she goes, Cheryl Pounder, multi-time Olympian, two-time gold medalist, and as you said, a bajillion-time world championship gold medalist, as well as a TSN hockey analyst. And yeah, Alex Steves is an interesting name because he's somebody who I became a fan of during the Leafs development camp. He was having an unreal camp, and then he got hurt with, I believe it was a shoulder injury,
yeah. And
then wasn't able to participate in actual training camp for the Maple Leafs. But since coming back to the Marlies, it looks like he's been a guy who's been pretty dialed in. So perhaps he's somebody who eventually we can see earn himself a call-up and get a chance to see. I believe he came out of college last year.
Yeah, Notre Dame.
Yeah, so not too much pro experience. So he's getting that good pro experience down in the minors. But definitely, I think for Leafs fans, that's a name that we could see pop up pretty shortly here.
Yeah, the blue line name she brought up was interesting too.
Rubens.
Kral and Rubens.
Mm-hmm.
I remember them both impressing me in the preseason as well. We should go to a Marlies game soon, AB.
We should. We should definitely check out a Marlies game.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Coming up next, we're hitting up the power rankings. It's Wednesday, which means power rankings, and we're going to do the top five Canadian Olympic jerseys, and we're doing it since the NHL was entered into the mix here back in 98 in Nagano, in honor of the jerseys being unveiled yesterday on the TSN broadcast. So we'll go through our top five, talk about the ones that we like the most. I'm Mike DeStefano. She's Jude Tashiri. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050 is brought to you in part by Lease Busters. Ah, relief from your car lease. Go to leasebusters.com. Gameplay, weekday afternoons from 1 till 4 on TSN 1050. We're going all in on the coverage. You can bet on it.